Revelation chapter 20. Again, it's good to see each one of you here this morning and pray that the Lord will help us and bless us together. We might see these things, some great and wonderful promises that the Lord has for his people. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1. Now, the scripture says here, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. I want you to note that, 1,000 years, okay? There's something there that the Lord had that angel do. Verse number 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled." You hear that again? That's 1,000 years mentioned twice. Fulfilled. "And after that, he must be loosed a little season." That is the devil, Satan, that has been bound and placed in this bottomless pit. Verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and that's they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Third mention of 1,000 years, right? Verse number 5, "And the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished." Fourth mention of 1,000 years, right? This is the first resurrection. Verse number 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Fifth mention of 1,000 years, isn't it? "And they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse number 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison," and so on, telling about that which Satan would do. Six times 1,000 years has been mentioned here, and what we want to focus upon this morning, here in verse number 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Reigning with Christ 1,000 years. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we thank you, Father, for the privilege and blessing that you've given us, that we can assemble here with brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, that you've placed us here in this church, Homestead Baptist Church. Lord, you've blessed us that we can come together to worship you. We thank you, Father, for visitors, and we thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us, that we might lift up our hearts and our minds and praise, Lord, our voices unto you in praise and honor and glory that's due your name and your name alone about those things that you've promised us. Lord, speak to us through your word and help us to rejoice in those things that you've said, those things that you've promised that you'll bring to pass. And Lord, the wonder and blessing of this 1,000-year reign that you've promised with your people on this very earth. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved, that even this morning would be the time, Lord, that they'd see Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would reveal Christ unto them, and Lord, that they might see him having been given his life and dying and being buried and risen again for their souls, for their sin, for their justification, Father, that you would work in them, that they might see that they're sinners, wicked and undone before you, Father, that they're guilty against sinning against you, and Lord, you might show them Christ and save their souls. Help now, we pray and bless. Lord, take me out of the way and speak to us through your word. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. 1,000 years, reigning with Christ 1,000 years. And I know there are those that doubt the 1,000-year reign. They doubt the millennial reign of Christ. And here in this passage alone, this 1,000-year reign, this millennial reign, being referred to and mentioned six times. Six times it's referred to. And what do you think the Lord means by 1,000 years? I think he means 1,000 years, doesn't he? It caused me to think, with it being mentioned here six times, it caused me to think about the creation of the Lord. How the Lord said he did this and he did that, as it tells us in the early part, in the first part of the book of Genesis, how the Lord did this, and the evening and the morning were the first day, the second day, the third day, and so on. 6 days that the Lord created. And here are six times that the Lord mentions about this thousand-year reign. He tells us about it, and that's what we want to look at this morning. And before or as we get on to looking this, I want you to take a look at Zechariah chapter 14. This is going to be the beginning. Zechariah chapter 14, this is going to be the beginning of that thousand-year reign. When Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who walked on this earth, when God came down and became a man and walked upon this earth some 2,000 years ago and lived a perfect life, had a ministry of around 3 years, willingly gave his life over to the hands of wicked men, and they did what was natural for them to do. They put him to death. Yet he gave his life willingly. He suffered there on that cross alone for the sins of his people, gave his life, died, was buried, and rose again the third day. This same Jesus is coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth, on this dirt that's out there, this place that we live on. He's promised he'll do it. And here in Zechariah chapter 14, we see the beginning of that. And oh, what a glorious and blessed promise it is unto us about how the Lord is going to do so. Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem." Where is Jerusalem? It's over there in Palestine, in the Middle East, there in the nation of Israel. The Lord is going to gather all nations. There, they are going to think that they're going to come against the Lord's city, the Lord's people, the Lord's nation, to destroy them finally. But God is bringing them together for a purpose that he's going to accomplish, to battle. "And the city shall be taken." It's going to look bad. "And their houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half the city shall go forth into captivity." I want you to remember that. "And the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth." That is God Almighty, God manifested in the flesh, Jesus Christ, "and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." That mount that is just east of Jerusalem there, as we understand it, that mount there, that is that mountain that is just there east to the Temple Mount, where the temple was built and will be built again. On that mount, the Lord Jesus Christ will set down his feet. "And on his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed to the shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee in the valley. Ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Hazal. Yea, ye shall flee like ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." That, if you remember, in the book of Jude, what Enoch testified, that the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to rule and reign and to judge the earth. Zechariah gives the same account. Verse 6, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the night shall not be clear nor dark." The day, it won't be bright, but it won't be dark. It'll be kind of in between. We've had some days with storms here lately in the middle of the day, and it just be kind of in between. Sometimes you'll know and you've experienced it when it's such that it's a very, very cloudy day. And as the sun's going down in the west, the sun will be able to shine underneath those clouds. Isn't that kind of an eerie, weird-looking kind of sky? When you see the shadows of the bottoms of the clouds against those other clouds, it's kind of just a in-between kind of time. And I wonder about that. I don't know if that's the way it'll be. But in that one day, verse 6, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light." When the sun should be going down, it's still going to be light. And I think it's going to be light because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his shining, because of his presence. Verse 8, "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Not most, but all the earth. He's going to come down. That one that hung on that cross is going to then come down as king, and he shall rule and reign over all the earth, every bit of it. There have been those that have come that have tried to rule over all the earth, but never accomplished it. But the one that came meek and lowly as Savior, indeed, he shall inherit the earth, shall he? He will inherit the earth of the Father, and he shall rule over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Verse 10, and the land shall be turned as plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel, the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction. No more destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. I want you to hang on to that. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem at his coming. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Those armies gathered together against Jerusalem at the appearance of the Lord, they will melt away as they stand there and see the Lord our Savior. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Those that fight and assemble themselves there before Jerusalem will fight amongst themselves and will destroy themselves. Verse 14. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together. That which has been brought by those nations that gathered against Jerusalem, their wealth will be left. It will be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule and of the camel and of the ass, and all these beasts shall be in these tents as this plague. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, there are going to be those that are going to be consumed. There are going to be those that are going to be destroyed. But there are going to be some of those that are going to be left. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They're going to come, the Gentiles are going to come from afar upon the earth, and they're going to make themselves little booths there around Jerusalem and live in those booths for, if I remember right, a week, as the children of Israel did live as they were brought out of Egypt by the Lord. The Gentiles are going to have to do that. And they will have to come, and they will be there to worship who? The King. To worship the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the Lord of Sabaoth, if you will. That's what that means. Verse 17, and it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth of Jerusalem to worship the King, there'll be some that'll say, nope, I'm not going. I'm not putting up with that foolishness. I'm not going up there and living in a little booth to worship God through that week. I'm staying here. There'll be those that'll refuse to do so. And those that will not come up of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague. If the rain doesn't do it, he'll send the plague. Wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. You know what? The attitude of the world is going to change in that day. Everything about Jesus, everything about God, and everything about his people will be number one. Who is it that rides horses and has to do with horses and competitions and different things, showing of horses and all that, has such on the harness of their horses today? No one. Or very, very few. But in that day, that's what everybody that has horses will be thinking about. Holiness unto the Lord, and so on. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. Why? Because the Lord's going to fill them. Because the bounty and the blessing upon the earth is going to be from God. Everything that's going to be good upon the earth in that day will be from God Almighty. And it will be reckoned by every man, woman, boy, or girl that lives upon the earth in that day. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. The Lord says the Canaanite is out of here. Those nations that the Lord displaced, even some of those nations that are mentioned, you can look it up on your own time in Psalms 83, verses 1 through 8. Those nations are going to be displaced. They're going to be displaced. They were displaced by the Lord there in the land of Canaan when he brought Israel out of Egypt and displaced them. And they've been quarreling and fussing about Israel being in that land there of Palestine, there east of the Mediterranean, as the Lord had ordained that Israel should have, and as he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this day, it'll be done. It'll be done. At this coming of the Lord, as we've had indicated here, will be the beginning of that millennial reign when Jesus sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives. We want to go to Isaiah chapter 60. And we yet want to take another glimpse, another promise about things that will go on in that day. The promise of the millennial reign. Oh, what a blessing it will be. Do you think about the millennial reign of Christ? Do you consider about the millennial reign of Christ? It's big. It is big in the eyes of the Lord. It is wondrous in those things that he has promised. And we that are saved. Will be of those that will come with the Lord in that day when he sets his feet on that mount. We will come with him, as we mentioned about Enoch testifying that the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Will you be in that group riding upon horses with the Lord coming in the clouds to rule and reign with him? The only way that you can is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's the only way that it can be. Because without him as Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to rapture out his children, to take them out of here as he's promised, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may enter into that 7 years of tribulation, of the judgment of God upon this earth, and the Lord's dealing with Israel and chastisement even of Israel, his nation, to bring them to them. We're going to read about that. And after that 7 years, if you reject Christ as your Savior in this day, and then you come to that time of the rapture of the Lord, of his saints, and you live through that time of tribulation, and then you make it there into that time of that millennial reign of Christ, you will be a subject of the King and not a child of the King. A great disparity, huh? A king that rules and reigns a dominion. What a great disparity to be a child of that king or to be a subject of that king. What a terrible thing to have no kinship to the king, especially in that day. But the Lord will begin to rule and reign during the time of this millennial reign. And Isaiah chapter 60 and 61 gives us some insight into the things that are going to be happening during that time. And so let's read Isaiah chapter 60. And I ask you, on which side of this will you be? On which side of this will you be in this reign of Christ for 1,000 years? Who is it the Lord's speaking to here in Isaiah 60? Let's read. Arise. Have you heard that? Rise and shine and give God the glory. Rise, shine, for thy light is come. Isaiah 60 verse 1. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Who's the thee? Who's the thy? Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Didn't it get dark there in the visitation of the Lord and those nations that were gathered against Jerusalem that we read over there in Zechariah 14? It's speaking about the same thing. Verse 3, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Who's the thy? Who's the thee? Verse 4, "Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side." Israel is going to return. The people of the Lord are going to be brought back to the nation, to the Lord. Verse 5, "Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee." What about that valley that extends to the sea? The commerce even of the Lord's nation. The Gentiles, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The whole world will be coming to Israel, be coming to Jerusalem, where now Israel and Jerusalem is despised of the world. It's hated, has been hated for centuries and millennia. But now she'll be the focus of everybody that lives upon the earth, because that's where the Lord's going to rule and reign from. He's speaking to Israel. Oh, the blessedness of what the Lord will accomplish for his nation and his people. Verse 6, "The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come and shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord." The King of Kings and Lord of Lords will be ruling and reigning. How was it when Solomon reigned? The other kings of the earth wanted to come in there and be buddies with him. They wanted to be friends with him. They wanted to have that notoriety of being close to the greatest king that lived in their day. How will it be in this day? Same way. Same way. Same way. They won't help but be able to bring their glory unto the Lord, as was indicated over there in Zechariah. "The multitude of camels," verse 6, "shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar and will glorify the house of my glory," the Lord says. "Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows?" Who are these? They keep coming, and they bring it, and they bring it. The blessing of the Lord is upon the earth, and the Lord has ordained that all come and worship before him in Jerusalem. And they come, and they come. And Zechariah mentioned about those that won't come, but for the lion's share, it'll be all of them that'll come. It'll be the most that'll come. They won't help but be able to come and worship before the Lord. "Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring my sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, under the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee." The Lord, in the end, has taken his nation and made her to rule over the earth, as he sits there on the throne of God. Verse 10, "And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls." Remember how Jerusalem was being destroyed at that gathering of those armies? And now there's volunteers from all over that are coming to build up Jerusalem and build it up great and build it up nice. They won't be wrestling and fighting against the Lord in that day, but the blessing of the Lord will be upon the earth. But unless you're saved, unless you have been saved, you're a subject of the king, not one of his children. We of the Lord's people that are saved, we're going to be coming back with him, and we'll be ruling and reigning with him. We'll see and observe this that happens upon the earth, that those inhabitants that are left and the children that they have will be there, and they'll be serving the Lord because of his rule and his reign. But they're not saved. They don't have the Lord as Savior. The kingdom of God has been finally manifested and shown forth in every way, in every facet, and the inhabitants of the earth will be able to do nothing but worship the great King and our God. See that there? The sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, in dealing with Israel, dealing with his sons. But in my favor have I had mercy on thee. In the end, he will bring his nation to be what he wants her to be. And all the inhabitants of the earth will work in it to bring it to pass. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. Verse 11, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Does that sound familiar? Right. If they won't bring their glory into the Lord and is in Jerusalem, they will suffer. No rain, a plague, even if it takes them and it destroys them. But those that will have the blessing of the Lord in that time. They shall be utterly wasted. They shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree and the pine tree and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. They'll bring wood upon wood upon wood to build what needs to be built in the Lord's city and land. And I will make the place of thy feet, of my feet, glorious. Where my feet are, the Lord says, it'll be a glory. It'll be a glory unto me. Because all the inhabitants of the earth can do nothing but come and serve and worship and bow the knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and his nation and people. Verse 14, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. Israel, yes. Who is the thee? Who is the thy? It is Israel. It is the Lord's nation. He, for 1,000 years, is going to make her the greatest thing there is upon the earth. And where do you fit in with it? Are you there with the Lord, ruling and reigning with him as he accomplishes this before his people and for his people and for his nation? Or are you there as one of the subjects of the kingdom? They shall call thee, the city of the Lord, there at the end of verse 14, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. That's what the heathen will call the city. It is God's dwelling place, as he had proclaimed and promised from the time of Abraham on. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, verse 15, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Now, there's those that wouldn't even think about even moving or walking through Jerusalem if you paid them. But then there'll be a desire of the people to want to come there and see the glory, blessing, and rule and reign of the Lord. Oh, it does not pay to be against Israel. It does not pay, because God said, and he will stand by it through eternity, those that bless you, I will bless, but those that curse you, I will curse. And it's a danger for our nation to turn against the Lord's nation. And we're having an attitude. That attitude is increasing of turning against Israel. It's increasing and increasing more and more. Where hast thou been forsaken and hated? Verse 15, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Verse 16, thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, shall suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Do you know the one? Do you know the one is Savior, that is going to be the Savior of his people Israel? Do you know him? Through repentance and faith, you know him as your Savior. It's all about the Lord and what he has in store, his promises. He says here in verse 17, for brass I will bring gold. Where brass is needed, I'll have him bring gold. And where for iron, I'll have him bring silver, or cause silver to abound. For wood, make it out of brass instead. And for stones, Make it out of iron instead. There'll be no compromise. There'll be no expense spared. There will be no lack in anything. It will all be glorious. I will also make thy officers peace and thine exactors righteousness. Everything will be just right according to the pleasure and way of the Lord. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Now Israel is on alert constantly about terror bombings and assaults with rockets and maybe even those that would move in with weaponry to destroy the people of Israel and destroy that nation. The Lord says, no more violence there. None. None. No more violence. It'll be peace. 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 Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. It is because of the Lord's touch upon Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the birthing of his nation in Egypt, from which he brought the Savior of our souls. It's the plan of God. It's the plan and working of God. And it'll be magnified. It'll be magnified in that day. Thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Where the Lord himself came and gave his gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. What's that? The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, he will be the light of the city and of the land. His brightness will shine forth, and his glory will be that way. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Israel will no longer mourn for the affliction, but will enjoy the blessing of the Lord forever. Thy people also shall be all righteous, verse 21. They shall inherit the land forever. What God had promised Abraham, it'll have been brought to pass, and it will last for eternity. Thy people shall also be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that it may be glorified. Verse 22, a little one shall become a thousand. That which is small and weak, that which would be small and considered weak, will be a multiple because of the blessing of the Lord. And one, and a small one, a strong nation, I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. The Lord's going to bring it to pass. Where do you fit in? Are you going to be a subject of the kingdom in that day? Or will it be that you would have rejected the Lord and his salvation and have died and be waiting in hell to be brought out for that great white throne judgment? Or will you receive Christ? Will you be saved of the Lord? And will you be of that host that will return to do these things in Israel, in Jerusalem, and upon the earth? Then I find it interesting that chapter 61, a prophecy here about the Lord Jesus Christ, telling about that which all of us need. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what you need from the Lord. You need salvation from him. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it tells about the Lord Jesus Christ coming as his custom was there in the beginning of his ministry. He came back to Nazareth and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to stand up for to read. And they gave him the book of Isaiah and he read in this passage. Because when the Lord came the first time, he came as Savior. Do you have him as your Savior? Have you repented of your sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that you might receive these good tidings? that you might be bound up from the brokenness of your sin, that you might be set free from your sin and saved by the Lord, that you might be let out of prison, being bound by sin and the oppression of that, to proclaim, that you might be able to proclaim this acceptable time that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the day of his ministry for you, for your soul, for your need, and that you might be there to proclaim the wondrous return of the Lord to rule and reign. I pray that for each and every one of us that are here this morning. If you're here without Christ, that's what you need. Because you notice there in verse number 2, that verse goes on. The Lord Jesus Christ stopped in this passage as he recited it in Luke chapter 4. But the prophet Isaiah tells us what more the Lord has planned. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, it says in verse 2, and the day of vengeance of our God. During that time of the tribulation, during that time even of the 1,000-year reign where the Lord will rule with a rod of iron, to the judgment of the damned there at the great white throne judgment of God. And he goes on to comfort all that mourn. Haven't we seen that's what the Lord's going to do in Israel in that time of the millennial reign? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, because the place has been destroyed, it's been burnt down. And what is the Lord going to do? He's going to cause everything to flourish. He's going to cause it all to be great. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, that he might be glorified. He's going to work this in Israel. He's going to work this in the world in that day. Look what it says here in verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. The Lord's going to do that. All that destruction that he rained down during the time of the 7 years of tribulation and his judgment upon the earth and his judgment and his work in Israel, he's going to cause it all to be rebuilt, and it's all going to be glorious. It's going to be more wonderful than it's ever been. The temple and the works of Solomon will not be able to compare to the building of the Lord in that day and what he'll do. And we as his children, we have a promise of being there, being involved with it, to do the bidding of the Lord upon the whole earth and whatever it is that he wants done in that day. Verse 5, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. He said the Gentiles, the heathen, will come in there and say, let me feed your animals for you. I'll take care of them for you. Why? Because the Lord in Israel will be there. His heritage will be lifted up. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Said, let me come in there and just take care of your vine. Let me take care of your vineyard. The blessing of the Lord will be upon his nation and upon his people so greatly in that day. Those that the Lord saves that is coming out of Israel will enjoy the blessing of the rule and reign of our King in that day. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Didn't we read that in Revelation chapter 20? Priests of God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. They'll bring it all to you. They'll bring it all to you. For your shame ye shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, where before they wouldn't even look their way. They'll acknowledge them then. You're the people of the Lord, aren't you? You're a child of the Lord. How can I help you? Can I take you somewhere? Can I go dress your vineyard? Can I go plow your field? They'll be the servants of the Lord's nation and people in that day. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, verse 9 of chapter 61, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. You, have been blessed by the Lord with a great and wondrous blessing, the blessing that God promised Abraham. And in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. What a greater multiplication than the Lord will do in this day. Who's going to be there? The people of God. Abraham will be there, won't he? Isaac will be there. Jacob will be there. The patriarchs, so to say, will be there. The prophets will be there. You and I will be there. Will you be there? Will you be there to see it? Oh, what a day it will be. All their seed, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Isaiah says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. You know what? We need to do that now because of his promises. That we're going to be there. I have a promise of being there in that day. Being there as the Son of God to do his bidding as he pours out this blessing upon his nation and upon his people. See, we'll be there. We'll be there not as the recipients of it, but we'll be there involved in ruling and reigning with the Lord and those that he saves at his appearing. And then amongst all those that will be subject to the Lord, not saved, but there under his will and his dominion. I think an aspect of the millennial reign, as we've seen here, is that the Lord is going to do for his nation what he promised. Amen. Everything he's promised, he's going to bring to pass. Right. Another thing that's going to be accomplished during the millennial reign is that even though wicked men will observe to obey the Lord, there is blessing in man and obeying his law. There's not salvation in it. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. All the law and the order of God points to Jesus Christ. But if men will obey, it'll be proven and shown that if men will obey the word of the Lord, there will be blessing from God. And then the Savior and those that he has saved will be magnified. Will be magnified. Oh, what a day. What a day it will be. Isaiah says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. How about you? Are you saved? Do you know that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, that he did it for you? Your soul? Your sin? Oh, I pray that you will receive him. Isaiah says, he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, his righteousness laid to my account, his salvation of my soul. Do you know the salvation of the Lord? Oh, what a blessing and a promise he has for us, we that are saved. Covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels at the time of their marriage. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth. Hear that? It's planting season now, isn't it? Some of you have been working on your garden, haven't you, with expectation of a harvest. So the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And it's going to be done in the Lord's nation, in the Lord's people, by the Lord's King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 64, verse number 4. Oh, the reigning with Christ 1,000 years. Isaiah 64, verse 4. This is quoted by the apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Amen. You know, the bill of goods that we get sold on this earth is that heaven's going to be just this thing of goody two shoes floating around on the clouds, strumming on a harp. Isn't that the way Satan takes it and maligns the blessing and the way of the Lord? Oh, heaven is where the people of God are now, waiting
for the Word of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ to return to this earth and let His feet upon the ground. We know that the rapture of the saints is going to come before that. Christ is there waiting for the Father to say, go get Him, son. Go get Him. And then He's going to deal with this earth for 7 years. And then the Father's going to say, son, go. And He's going to come and He's going to set His feet down on that Mount of Olives. And that 1,000-year reign is going to begin. And the Lord is going to fulfill everything that He's promised. And there's going to be activity. There's going to be business. There's going to be things ordained by the Lord for to be done by you and me. When we think about it, isn't that what the Scripture says? I hadn't seen it. The mind hadn't perceived it. We can't even think what the Lord is going to have in store.
Right.
But He gives us a little glimpse here. And we're going to be there. We are the same. We're going to be there involved with the Lord, exalting His name and exalting His people and exalting His nation in that day. Jerusalem is going to be the headquarters of the world. Israel is going to be the king nation of the world. And we, being Gentiles, saved by the Lord, are going to be able to be there and have a part in it.
Amen.
In the bidding of the Lord. Oh, what a glorious day. Reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. How will you be there? Or will you be waiting in heaven? Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Believe the gospel. His death, His burial, His resurrection. For you, the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins. You might rule and reign with Him.